Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Divine. This is episode 36 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. I am very excited for today's episode. I actually do have a special guest. It's my wife. Her name is Victoria. So
hi.
Don't worry, Divine is not some random guy. There's actually a very powerful woman backing up this man that gives this podcast. So Victoria, is there anything you'd like to say?
Hello, I'd like to greet my audience. It's so nice to meet you. My name is Victoria. Am I your very first guest?
Yes, you're my very first guest.
Wow.
I've literally not had anyone as a guest on literally any podcast I have made. So.
Well, praise God. Thank you for having me.
Yes, so my first lady is going to be my first guest on any of my podcasts. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
So today's topic is actually going to be very important. This is a podcast that has actually been like in the works for a while. We maybe came up with this idea probably like 3 weeks ago. We're kind of talking as we're driving and we're figuring out, you know, a topic that will be important for people is just knowing how to find a life partner, because it's something that many people struggle with. It's a decision that can have some pretty long-term repercussions for a person's destiny. So really today we're just going to be examining how to find a life partner. We're going to essentially be talking about some tips on how to set yourself up for success, how to pick the right person. And really in doing this, we're going to be sharing some of our own experiences, at least some of our limited experience, but at least, you know, God has been helping us a lot. And, you know, we're really hoping that you can get something from this. And, you know, feel free to reach out to us, divineinterventionlifelessons@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you'd like to chime in. And you're welcome to subscribe to this podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast.
And please rate the podcast, because that helps a lot as well to get the word out.
Exactly. Yes, it definitely does. So please rate it. Just any helpful feedback is always certainly helpful. So I guess ladies first. So I think we'll just start with the first tip from my wife, Victoria. So.
Okay. So the very first thing that comes to mind when I think of finding your life partner, finding your spouse, is making the decision with God and letting God order your priorities. Because I know that in the past, before I gave my life to Christ, I would be picking all wrong, basically. And so when I gave my life to Christ, I decided, like, God, you're going to be the one to pick my spouse for me. So what it means to let God order your priorities is, like, when you're considering someone, first of all, I don't really believe you should be dating without the intention of marriage, because then it's just, like, futile and it's just going to end in heartbreak and there's no point in that. So when you're looking at, like, a prospect, you know, does his or her character line up with the Word of God? And that kind of ties into Divine's point, his next point. But I just want to say that being led by the Holy Spirit is so important. So if you don't have that relationship with God, I would encourage you to get there, because my whole life changed once that became a part of my life. So.
Yes, those are all really great points. I think at the end of the day, you know, as children of God, there's just, you know, if you have an understanding of the Bible and just an understanding of the way God works, you'll see that there are certain things that matter to God that don't matter to the world. And there are certain things that matter to the world that don't matter to God. So if you have that God mindset in your decisions in picking a spouse, you'll very likely make quality decisions. And I think that's something that's certainly helpful, because again, you just see many people, they have all these priorities, like, oh, these are my top five priorities of things I'm looking for in a spouse, but none of those things reflect anything related to, like, God, the Bible, or anything like that. But again, those things that are pleasing in God's sight will very likely be pleasing in your sight in a spouse. So I think it's very important to have the Bible. Just ask yourself, what does the Word say in relation to what this person's current character looks like? So I think that's definitely a great point. So any other thing you want to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and considering that, like, because some people may be listening and thinking, like, oh, wow, the Bible, that sounds really boring. Like, this person might not be fun at all. But God cares about everything like sexual attraction. God is fully involved in that. So we're not like saying that if you let God pick your spouse, you're going to end up with this very boring, like no life person. I don't know. I just have a feeling some people will be imagining that. But if you read the book of like Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, it's like very romantic, very yes. heated. And God is very, he's pretty, uses a lot of imagery in the Bible when it comes to sex and things like that. So letting God pick your spouse, just trust him. He'll take care of that area for you as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So I guess with that, we'll bleed into our next point. And our next point here is that the person should be a Christian. It's kind of very similar to what we've talked about on earlier on. Again, you're not going to convert the person, right? So the thing is, the Bible says that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if a person is not a Christian, you really shouldn't be marrying them. That's just the truth. Because I know many people have this thought that you're going to be the one to convert the person. Oh, that, you know, if this person sees that I go to church, they're going to start going to church with me. That's not what the Bible says. And again, many people, the thing is, at the end of the day, it's not you that does the converting, it's God that really draws people to himself. So you're not the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be doing the Holy Spirit's job and trying to convert people. So, you know, if a person is not a Christian, you probably shouldn't be marrying that person. And again, at the end of the day, some people may say, wow, this is pretty harsh. But the thing is, it's better to get into marriage and have that be a long-haul commitment than something that you say, you know what, I'm willing to overlook this thing. But then a few years down the line, the marriage ends or, you know, kind of hits the rocks. You don't want that for your marriage, right? So just in general, right? Because you want to be working with people that are like-minded, right? So if you're a Christian and you're marrying another Christian, then essentially you're like almost like on the same page spiritually. You have similar values. You have a similar perspective on life. The Bible says, can two work together unless they agree, right? So the thing is, it's very hard sometimes to have agreement when you're a Christian, someone is an unbeliever, and you just have completely different perspectives on something. You may not be able to meet in the middle there. So I think just having that as a very good, like, big criteria from the get-go, like, that was certainly something for me from the beginning. For me, I knew in my heart that if a person was not a Christian, I was not going to be marrying them, because I knew at the end of the day, when I get into marriage, is something I want to be a lifetime commitment, not something that I want to jump in and jump out of after a few months or a few years. So anything you want to say, Victoria?
Yeah, I was going to say that, well, first of all, we want to make sure that their Christian faith is genuine.
Yes.
So they're not just, oh, I'm a Christian by title, you know, by word, but in action as mm-hmm. well. So, and you can tell that by, you know, does their lifestyle line up with what they say they believe?
Yes.
You know, we all make mistakes, and thank God for Jesus. But like, if someone says they're a Christian, but they do things that are like clearly wrong, and they have no conviction whatsoever about it, I would say that's a big red flag, and that could become a really big problem in the marriage later.
Yes, definitely. So I think that's kind of it on that point. So we're going to go into the next point here. So,
okay. So, my next point is to get out of bad relationships and don't keep making excuses. So, I like how you said that you shouldn't expect to convert a person
uh-huh.
because, I've heard stories where someone feels like, oh, but they're so close. I mean, they believe in God. They're just not sure yet about Jesus or, you know, anything like that. I would encourage you to get out of that relationship, because the danger is that actually that person can end up leading you away from Christ, and you can end up further away from God down the road because you've basically become one with someone that is not one with God. And if you're not careful, if you are careful in that marriage and you do keep your relationship with God, it's going to be a tough relationship with your spouse. But if you're not careful, that person can lead you away from the things of God. And get out of bad relationships. Like, stop making excuses for the way that people treat you. If someone treats you poorly, you need to get out of that relationship. Like, you can't change them. God hasn't changed them, and you're not married, so you have no, like, reason to stay. And I think that some people stay because of fear. They don't want to they don't want to deal with the emotional pain of going through a breakup. But that pain and that healing process is so worth finding the right person. Because if you stay with the wrong person, you're basically cheating yourself of the relationship that you're supposed to be in. And you could be missing out on the person that God has for you because you are wanting to do it your way.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a great point there. So, because you see many people, and, you know, I kind of feel bad where you see some people, they're just in tough relationships. Their spouse is, like, mistreating them. And I guess let me go ahead and see this as a public service announcement.
Well, not their spouse. Their,
you know, their significant other. Yeah. Right? Let me go ahead and say this, right, to all the men out there listening to this, right? You really shouldn't be mistreating a woman, right? Because a woman is created in the image of God, right? A woman is precious in God's sight. You shouldn't be mistreating a woman. You shouldn't be beating up. You certainly should not be beating up a woman. That's just very low form for a man. But really, piggybacking off of what she said, it's very important. If you're not in the Bible, there's this part of the Bible that says, come out from among them and I will accept you unto myself. Now, you see some people, they just keep staying in these relationships. They just feel like, oh, this person that they have, if they leave, that they will never be able to find another person. Mm-hmm. And that is just not true. That is just not true. You have a strong relationship with God. God will get you in. God is an ex. Let me tell you this. God is like the best matchmaker. Yeah. God will put you with someone that is befitting for you. God will put you with someone that will essentially be an answer to your prayers. So I will certainly encourage you, if you're in a bad relationship, an unhealthy relationship, a relationship where you're being abused, a relationship where the person just does not value you, then you shouldn't be in that relationship. I'm telling you, like, the earlier you get out of it, the earlier you can start on the journey, or God can start on the journey to leading you to the right person for your life. So any other thing you want to say, Victoria?
No. Okay.
Perfect. So the next point I think I want to discuss here is the importance of patience. Patience, patience, patience. So the thing is, there's a good number of people that marry out of peer pressure, and it pretty much just ruins their lives. This is certainly something that, and it's easier said than done, right? Like, for example, I remember as a single guy, you know, I went through college, didn't date anybody. Went through med school, didn't date anybody, right? And I remember specifically when I was about to graduate from med school, so many of my classmates were settling down. Like, you'll see Facebook posts of people getting engaged, and you see, like, wedding photos. You see some of them even having babies, buying homes because they're about to settle down. And to be honest with you, those things just absolutely just nibble at your heart. You're like, oh, come on, God, seriously. Like, these people have dated 5 people already. And look at me, I've not even found a single woman. But at the end of the day, that patience was so worth it. So worth it, right? God introduced me to Victoria when I moved for residency. And I am so, so, so glad that she was the first person I dated, because it was just for the best. I'm so grateful. I know that God has given me way more than I even bargained for. I mean, Victoria is a wonderful woman. So I'll just encourage you to be patient, right? You see some people, they're like, ooh, my friends have gotten married, so I gotta find somebody. No. I'm telling you, it's better to be patient and get the best than to say, you know what? I'm just gonna marry somebody. I just wanna start a family immediately. And then you start that family, and that family just crumbles after a few years, right? So it's very important. Don't rush into a marriage. A marriage is a lifetime commitment, right? So think about it. If, for example, you were going to say, you know what, they said, oh, you can only buy one car for the next 30 years. So whatever decision you make, you're going to stick with it. You're going to do a lot of research. You're going to do a lot of soul searching. You're going to do a lot of reflecting before you buy that car, right? But you see some people, they almost spend more time doing research on things of the world that may not make as much of a difference in their lives long term. They spend much more time doing research on that than doing research on, like, the person they are marrying and just understanding what marriage entails. So I'll strongly encourage you, don't marry out of peer pressure. I'm telling you, marriage, when you're going into marriage, it should be a commitment where you're saying, you know what, this is going to be a permanent thing for the rest of my life. I'm not breaking this commitment. I am not, for any reason. So don't rush into it. It's better to wait long than marry wrong. I think that's a statement I've heard somewhere. Better to wait long than marry wrong. Victoria, is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, well, when you say peer pressure, this image keeps coming into my mind of someone who is engaged and they're not married yet. And they are starting to feel that maybe they shouldn't go forward with the marriage. But there's all the, they've already sent out the save the dates to everyone. They're, all their family knows, all their friends know. You know, you've been wearing the ring around town, and you've spent money, on deposits here and there for the wedding itself. I would say that that can be like a very high pressure situation, because you would feel like, oh my gosh, if I call this thing off, how embarrassing will that be for me, and how much money we've wasted and all this stuff. But like, it is not worth it to go through with the marriage, because marriage, at least we believe, is for life. It's a lifetime commitment, and you never go back. You never go like unmarried. So I would just like to encourage anyone that the pain that you may feel now to end that relationship is worth the freedom that you'll end up like having for life. So that, I don't know, that just came to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think of peer pressure.
Yes, because I guess this rule really doesn't just apply to people that are looking for a spouse, but a person that is in a relationship, right? Where you know that, man, there's something that is not right about this. This is not God's plan for me. Yes, again, don't be afraid to get out of that relationship. Don't be afraid to get out. I'm telling you.
Even if you are afraid, get out anyway.
that's a great point. Even if you're afraid, because sometimes the right thing may not feel right, yeah. Right? But it's the right thing to do. So just go ahead and get out of that relationship. I'm telling you, like, it's not worth the long-term headache that you're going to go through, the long-term pain that you're going to go through from being in a marriage, and you're like, man, I know I made a huge mistake here. Mm-hmm. So don't make that huge mistake, because again, that's kind of the whole goal of this podcast. At the end of the day, God is the one that helps us in all these things. But the goal of this podcast is just trying to put you in a position where you're less likely to make these kinds of mistakes that can have lifetime repercussions. So,
yeah. Okay. So, my next point requires faith. So mine says, be faithful to your spouse before you meet them. So this is definitely something that I practiced, at least after I gave my life to Christ. And what that means is, or what it meant for me, everyone, has different levels of conviction. But for me, one place, basically, I knew in my heart that God had a husband for me. I knew that it was a promise of God for my life. So knowing that, I saw myself as already married, and I chose to live that way. So what that means is, I didn't dress in a way that was disrespectful to my husband, even though I hadn't met him yet. So I would always make sure, even if I was going to the pool, that my bathing suits were modest. I would cover my body, because the way that I saw it is that my body belongs to God, and it also belongs to my husband. So I covered myself up to be faithful to him in that way. And then another area that I basically, acted as if I was already married, was I didn't just flirt with anybody. I didn't flirt, actually. I mean, when Divine, I guess you can say, made a move with me, it's not because I had been flirting with him.
No.
So, you don't need to flirt to get a husband, just so you know. But basically that was me acting in faith, that I'm in a committed relationship. I'm in a marriage. So I can't just be like giving all these guys, whatever attention that they want. And then finally, I would say the most important area is, in being faithful to your spouse is sexual purity. And I just want to say that if you haven't, if you're not a virgin. Not many people are going to be surprised by that in our day and age, in our culture. And there's nothing that God cannot redeem. There's nothing that God cannot restore. So I just want to say that it's not too late to start. It's not too late to start living a sexually pure life. And, you know, there's this Bible verse I love. It says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. So anything that you feel like you've lost or broken, you know, in any area of your life or sexually, God is able to redeem it in full, 100%. So, but keeping your body for your marriage is important because it basically like saves intimacy for you and your spouse. And it also, it can prevent a lot of problems in marriage because you'd be surprised how many things from your past will affect your marriage.
That's true. That's true. That's a really great point because just to comment on that a bit, because, you know, everyone has made mistakes in their lives. No one is perfect. I certainly am not perfect. But again, I love this part of the Bible that says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new.
Yeah.
So even if you've made mistakes in the past, even if you've done things that are, you know, unscriptural in the past, there's nothing that God cannot forgive. And there's nothing that God cannot save from. But the thing is, when you give your life to Christ and you're redeemed, I will encourage you to have this mindset of faithfulness. Because faithfulness is not something you start practicing when you start dating. Some people feel like, oh, you know, I can live a loose life sexually and otherwise. But once I find the person, then all those problems will resolve. That's certainly not true. I can promise you that that is not true. The thing is, the thing you want for your future, start practicing it in the present. So if you start practicing being faithful, even as a single person, you know, not sleeping around, dressing modestly, things like that. The thing is, God works with people of faith. God is going to recognize that faith. And God will then prepare and bring that person to you that should be yours. So I'll encourage you, like, for those of you that are single, you know, if you've made mistakes in the past, that's okay. Just reach out to God, ask God for forgiveness, give your life to Christ. And we'll talk about giving your life to Christ at the end. But really, like, if you, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So the thing is, when you start being faithful, even as a single person, you're almost like producing present evidence of what you are trusting God for in the future. And God always honors people that work by faith. God always honors people that work by faith. So
I want to say one more thing. I just want to say that, like, sexual purity is not just for women. It's, like, expected of men as well.
Absolutely.
And there's someone that I really, really love and look up to. She's since passed away. Her name's Elizabeth Elliot, and her frustration is, or was, like, that every man wants to marry a virgin, right? But where are they going to come from if the men are not
virgins?
So, that's true. It's not just for women. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes, that's definitely a great point. So again, keep yourself, right? Keep yourself till marriage. Trust me, like, just keeping that intimacy will make your sex life, your intimacy with your spouse when you marry, that much better, right?
Yeah.
Because again, you just don't have it, you know, muddied up by these things from the past. But again, even if you've made mistakes in the past, there's nothing, again, like Victoria said, there's full redemption in Christ. That full redemption can come, but the earlier you start, trust me, the better.
Yeah.
So this kind of goes to the next point. And I will say beauty and outward appearance should not be your only criteria. You need to focus on character. So this thing I'm saying, I know it's very unpopular. People are like, oh, if you're a woman and you're looking for a man, he must have like the six pack. The ginormous muscles, he must be a bodybuilder, he must be able to bench like 325 pounds, he must be rich. Yes, again, all these things are related to outward appearance. Or if you're a man, then you're like, oh, okay, this woman has to be this height, this body physique.
We know what men are looking
exactly,
for.
Exactly, right? I think the women listening to this know precisely what men are looking for, right? So the thing is, I'm not saying that you should not be physically attracted to the person that you are marrying, but to be honest with you, that should not be your, at least for me personally, this was not my first criteria at all. Because for me, the kind of person that has this belief that outward appearances change over time, that's one, or they fade. The thing that is really, because whether we like it or not, right, as, you know, I'm a young man now, as great as my skin looks now, when I hit 70, 75, it is absolutely not going to look the way it looks now. It's going to change, right? But the thing that's permanent is character. Mm. Character. So I always say this. I mean, I've had many conversations with people on this. Whenever you're looking for someone to marry, don't just look at outward beauty. Don't just look at outward appearance. Look at inward beauty. Because inward beauty, which is character, is the thing that's going to last. I'm telling you, good character will take a marriage through many rocky roads. That is just the truth. A person that has good character will give you peace in marriage. Again, there are many people that marry that very beautiful partner of their dreams, and that home is like a mini war zone. Mm. So I always tell people this, and the thing is, when you have that perspective on looking for a spouse, you're thinking the way God thinks. And when you start thinking the way God thinks, you're going to start getting the same kinds of results that God gets. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, right? When God was calling David, right? Samuel thought, oh, these big brothers of David and everything, they were the best. But no, God was looking for that scruffy kid that was attending to sheep and stuff in the background, right? So don't just look at outward appearance. Don't just look at how wealthy a person is, right? Because a person could be wealthy, but you marry that person and you're going to regret every single day of that marriage. So I encourage you, don't just look at, I feel like this is one of the primary things that gets many people in the world today in trouble, is they're so focused on, it's almost like, you know, like these TV ads that advertise this thing, and they're like, oh, this thing, this drug does all these great things. Mm-hmm. But then they have this fine print at the bottom that people almost don't see, right? So those things that are below the surface are the things you really should be looking at. Because at the end of the day, those are things that can end up making or completely marrying a marriage. So anything you want to say, Victoria?
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you are marrying someone or interested in someone just because of the way that they look, that eventually that's going to get old. Exactly. You're going to have seen everything there is to see. So you want to make sure that there's more there so that you don't get like totally bored in your relationship. So
Exactly. Because again, that's the thing, right? Like, you know, think about it, the way you feel when you buy like a new car or a new computer, you know, like the first few days, first few weeks, you're like tending to it very beautifully. You don't want an ounce of dirt in that car or whatever, right? But after a few months, years of owning that car, you're like, whatever, this car's job is to get me from point A to point B, right? But it's the character of that car that will keep you saying, you know what, even if this car doesn't look very pretty, I love this car. This car is durable. It served me well over the years. I'm not going to let it go.
Yeah, and make sure that you have the character to be content with what you have.
Exactly.
Because your wife could, or your husband, could still be just as attractive as they are on the day that you married. So you need to have the character to stay content and not always be looking for the next thing.
That's true. In fact, I think that's actually a very important point. Because many people don't think of this, but discontentment is the root cause of many problems in marriage, or, you know, like just many things that happen. Many of these are negative things that happen in marriage, right? You need to be content, because one way the devil works is to trick you into thinking that, oh, there's better outside.
Yeah.
Oh, there is better. Because think about it. Again, I like bringing this back to making analogies with this, right? If you buy a new computer today, you're like, wow, this computer is like the best thing ever, right? You're like, man, I love the features. It's so fast. The camera is amazing and everything. But just give yourself a few months with that computer, and then they release a brand new one. You're like, oh, man, this brand new model is so much better, right? So you just keep jumping from one to the next, right? So if you have that same mindset with marriage, you're going to be having a lot of very short marriages, a lot of very short relationships. Right. So you need to be content. The thing is, at the end of the day, it's not really the beauty of your spouse that matters long term. It's more your perspective on your spouse that matters. Mm. Right. It's almost like a point of view. Again, the thing is, two people can see the exact same circumstance and they process it completely differently just because of perspective. So you need to have that contentment perspective in marriage. I think that's something that is extremely, extremely, extremely important. Again, I love the book of Job. Job said that I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at another woman lustfully, right? So the thing is, when you meet your spouse, right, you see like, oh, this person has great character, everything. This is the person I want to marry. Then have eyes only for that woman. Don't basically tell yourself that you will never see anything better in another woman compared with your spouse. Hmm. That should be your perspective. You really need to learn to be content in marriage. You really need to learn to be content. So.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next point is don't play games.
So, I like this one.
Yeah. I can speak from like the woman's perspective. I don't know as much about men, but like basically don't play games means like if you're serious and you're looking for someone that's serious, you don't need to be like playing hard to get. Like very childish things like, oh, well, he texted me 5 minutes ago. It took him 5 minutes to respond, so I'm gonna take 10 minutes. So he'll think I'm like busy or something. Or like maybe I'll take a whole day, so he'll wonder like, what am I doing? You know, just silly things like that. Basically, like as a woman, you want a man. You want a man that's not afraid if you reach out to him first in the day or is not afraid if you tell him what you really think. You don't want someone that just runs away at the slightest, scent of your actual feelings. So that's why it's important to not play games, because when you're just yourself and people run away, then that's perfect. That's great, because now you've just discovered, you know, who's not right for you, because the right person isn't going to run away from you. And then another reason is if you start by playing games and that's the only reason that like a man is interested in you, you're just going to have to keep up those games,
True.
Basically, like as soon as you let your guard down and he gets what he thought he wanted, it's over. And he's probably not going to be interested in you anymore. So, so when I was ready for like a real man, I told God, I am not going to play games. I do not want to play games. So when Divine reached out to me, I responded. I didn't consider how long it had been. And if I wanted to say something to him, I remember this one time I said something like, it was like a huge bomb that I dropped just to see how he would react. and he handled it well, and we're married today. So
exactly.
The right person is not going to be afraid of you if you're just yourself.
Exactly right. So be yourself. Don't come up with all these things that you're like, okay, let me design this obstacle course for this person that I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see people, they just like put it like either a man putting a woman through the ringer or a woman putting the man through the ringer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The thing is, basically when you put yourself on that pedestal, sometimes it can create some feelings of resentment. That's one. And then two, some people are pretty wicked in this world. They can say, you know what? You know how to play games? Oh, I know how to play games too.
Mm.
And they can, again, and the thing is, because once you create that kind of mentality, as Victoria said, it's almost like you're creating this thing that the man or the woman has to look up to.
Mm.
But the thing is, once they then finally get that thing they want, then they're like, okay, what's left?
But also, if the man is serious about you, uh-huh, and he can tell that you're playing games, he will probably lose interest because of that. Because if a man is a man that's looking for marriage, he's not looking for a girl that's just like playing, ha ha ha.
Exactly.
And that could actually cause him to look for someone else.
Exactly. Right. So again, you know, marriage is serious business, right? So don't do it like something where you're, you know, playing all these games. So any other thing you want to say, Victoria?
No, thank you.
Okay. So the next one we're going to talk about is just be a person that is ready for marriage. Be marryable.
Yeah.
If there's a word like that, marryable, right? So the thing is, you, the person that you're looking for a spouse, you need to also be a person that other people will want to marry. So, because many of these things, you know, people are always looking at the other person. Oh, this person has this bad character, has this, this, and has this, that. But remember the part of the Bible that says that you should take out the, you should take out the beam in your own eye before commenting on the speck in another person's eye, right? So the thing is, before you marry, like, look at yourself, you know, audit yourself, ask yourself, what are some bad character traits I have that are not ideal for marriage? And then start working on those things, right? So say, for example, if you're a man and you have two arms and two legs that work and you sit at home the whole day playing video games, I don't know, maybe a good idea, maybe to like try to find a job, get some prospects, right? The thing is, no woman wants to marry a man where she'll come and then they'll be living together under the bridge or living together on the streets, right? So just look at character traits you have that you know that, these are not very good. Like for me, like certain things I thought about, right? Like, you know, back in the day, I didn't really know how to cook much. But for me, I'm like, you know what? If I know how to cook, it'll make me a desirable man. Like, oh, this man can cook. So I learned how to cook. And there are many things I just did not necessarily used to do before I, you know, started dating and stuff. But I was like, you know what? Let me learn these things. And I learned them. And trust me, they're of great benefit to me right now. So just be a person that is marriable. And one other thing I think I'll say on this point is when you're ready to marry, you need to realize that you cannot keep living the same way you lived when you were single. You just can't, right? So say, for example, you're the kind of person that, I love getting up whenever I want, have all the day to myself, you know. Let's say, like, for example, like myself, I love watching the NBA. I love watching action movies as well. And also love, you know, reading and stuff. You know, I'm kind of a nerd, but that's a different story. But if I say, I'm getting married, I'm dating someone, and I'm like, I'm going to spend my whole day just like literally change nothing about my life.
Yeah.
Watch NBA games the whole day, read the whole day, watch action movies the whole day. Then guess what? Then I'm not really ready to marry at that point, because there is no woman that wants to come into a marriage with a man that is essentially like a roommate to her. No. Right. So for me, I had to recognize that, you know what, Divine, you're dating, you're married. So you're not just thinking of yourself anymore. Right. You're not thinking of the interests of Victoria. Right. So, oh, Victoria, what's your schedule like? And I see, OK, let's work our schedule so we can have time to spend together and we can do activities together. Right. Again. And, you know, that will also become even bigger, you know, when we become parents and have, you know, have like children and stuff. Right. These are all things we have to consider. So you need to change some of your single person habits to be more accommodating of the married life. So
yeah, and I would just to give an example of something other than like sleeping until noon and you know your life is going to change once you're married, but for us, I had to give up a kitty cat because Divine's allergic to cats, and I loved the cat, but Divine and our marriage was more important to me. So that was a decision that I made. So I think I'm saying this because he said like some people don't want to change the way they lived, but you're just gonna have to. There's gonna have to be sacrifices that each one of you makes. So yeah, it's not wrong to have to make those major changes. Just make sure that you are ready and willing to do them.
Exactly. Thank you. That's a great point. Yeah. And thank you for doing that. I know that was really hard. So,
Meow, meow.
Yes, I know. Her name was Meow Meow. Very, very delightful cat.
Rest in peace. Just kidding. She's not dead. She's in a nice, loving home. Okay. So, my next point says, I'm good, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have tough discussions before marriage.
Mm.
So this is including like a very wide variety of topics. I would say definitely 100% you need to talk about both of your pasts.
Yes.
Because if you don't, it will come up. There's no escaping it. There's nothing that will remain hidden, even if it takes a year, 2 years, whatever, however length of time, that information will come out. And if it wasn't shared, your spouse is going to feel betrayed. So make sure that you're very clear and upfront. And God is able, the Bible says that he holds the hearts of men in his hand. And it's like a stream of water that he can turn to all who please him. So like, even if your past is really dark, really bad, God is able to let you find favor in that person's sight. And God is able to just work and let them accept you anyway. So just please do it ahead of time. And then another thing that I think is important to discuss before marriage is expectations and roles.
Oh, right.
And submission.
Yeah.
So especially for Divine and I are coming from two different cultures.
Yeah.
So he's Nigerian, I'm American, and in as our American listeners know that women are like power women, they're equal to the man, and there's a lot of feminist beliefs. We just grew up in them. It's not even like we're even trying, but it's just we just grew up believing that a man should not tell you what to do. He should not expect you to make him a sandwich, you know, or whatever it may be. Anyway, in Divine's culture, men are highly respected in their homes, and the woman is expected to submit to the husband. And so we talked about, okay, what does that mean? What does submission mean in our marriage? What are you really expecting from me? And is that something I can do? Is that something I'm willing to do? Do I agree with that? Do I not agree with that? So make sure you talk about those things. And submission is a whole other topic. So I feel like maybe one day if we do a podcast about marriage mm-hmm. or something, we can talk more about submission. But just make sure that you guys are on the same page about that. And don't be offended. Like, as a woman, you may feel like, oh, this is so offensive that he would really expect this of me. But a lot of times men want to be respected because that's how they receive love. So they feel like when you show them respect, when you show them honor, like they're like, wow, this woman really loves me. So it's not about making you feel small. It's just the way that they are, just like how women like to talk about our feelings. We're just different. So, yeah. What do you think about that?
Yes. So those are all really great points. And I think I want to come in on some of it, actually. So one thing I think I definitely want to speak about is if a person leaves you after because you told them something about your past, to be honest with you, that's actually a pretty good sign that that's probably not a person that you should be with.
Totally.
If a person says, you know what, I'm going to leave you because of this thing from your past, then that's really not a person you should be with. That is really, really not a person you should be with, because if that person is running away because of something like that, then that's actually a pretty giant red flag. Now, this may be a person that may not have staying power in marriage.
Wow, yeah.
That the moment something tough comes, they pack up and leave, right? But again, that's not the kind of person you want to marry. You don't want a person that will pack up and leave because something bad has happened, right? No. You want a person that is willing to stay and will stay and thrive in that marriage despite what happens, right? God does not abandon us. I mean, I love this part of the Bible that says that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, right? So if your past is the thing that is separating you from the love of this other person, then you should absolutely not be with that person. That is certainly not Christ-like thinking. Now, the second thing I also want to say is, again, besides the conversations about just the past and expectations, there are key things you should also talk about that can be problematic if they're not discussed. So things like finances and how money is going to be spent and
joint bank accounts.
Just these are things that if you discuss them ahead of time, essentially by doing all these things, you're just reducing the risk that things discussions of this nature can end up causing problems in marriage. So I will strongly encourage you, like all these things, like don't hold anything back. Have these conversations so that the expectations are known ahead of time. The expectations are set down ahead of time so that you don't just have like some strange surprises when marriage starts. You're like, really? Do you really think we should do that? Right? Or, oh, this is how I... No. Right? Sit down before the marriage. Hash all these conversations out. Even the Bible says that, God says in Isaiah chapter 1, come, let's reason together, right? Like, God is literally having a negotiation with you, right? So talk about these things before marriage so it doesn't just crop up later and begin to cause problems. So.
Yeah. Cool.
So, any other thing you want to say?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So, the next point I will then talk about is, you know, just a few quick points here to wrap up, right? So, the first one is, you know, don't overcomplicate the marriage decision. I feel like some people just have just very crazy criteria lists, right? Very crazy lists of things. You're like, oh, this person must be 6'11", must have this, must have that, right? The thing is, at the end of the day, to be honest with you, I didn't have too many criteria. For me, I was like, is this a Christian? Is this a person that has great character? Is this a person I'm physically attracted to? Is this a person that just loves God? That was pretty much all I was thinking about. And God brought that person to me. Because the thing is, when you make those lists, it's almost like you're trying to create like a bionic life partner. You're like, oh, this person is going to be genetically engineered. This, you know, scientifically designed a life partner. Those people don't exist. Everyone has some fault of theirs, right? No one is perfect, right? But the thing is, for me, there were just certain like big, for me, like I love big picture things, right? Like I love big picture thinking. I just tell myself, big picture divine, what are you looking for in a woman? Loves God, is a Christian, has good character, I'm physically attracted to her. That was it. And once I had those things, I was more than happy, right? As long as, you know, just some of those big criteria satisfied, that's all you're really looking for, right? But if you start making all these just crazy, crazy, crazy criteria, you can get yourself, sometimes that those criteria can actually end up confusing you more than helping you. And the thing is, the devil then starts playing mind games with you, starts playing tricks on you, right? So just be careful of that.
But also, I would also add to that, kind of like the flip side of that is, know what you want.
Yes.
Be honest with yourself about what is important to you, and just make sure that like something that's really, really important to you is not being missed out on.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I'm also not saying this to say have no criteria. I said have some, not no criteria. Yeah. Just like, well, anything that comes, I'm going to marry this one. No, right? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know, have some criteria, you know. And, you know, again, just kind of going to the first one you made, right? Like, have some God-inspired criteria, right, for the person you're looking at. And then the next point I'll bring up is tradition. This is something that is very important, especially when you're having like a cross-cultural marriage, right? So, you know, as Victoria said, I'm Nigerian and she's American. And, you know, there are just certain things we have in Nigerian culture. And there are certain things that they have in American culture. You need to recognize those things. And you just need to ask yourself, some of these traditions, are they backed by the Bible? So I know for me, you know, a marriage was non-traditional in certain, you know, it was traditionally many ways.
We broke all the rules.
Yes, but we broke quite a number of rules. Because those things for me personally, I was like, you know, these things are not necessarily scriptural. These are things that, they're mores of the culture or whatever. But at the end of the day, there's no part of the Bible that really backs this thing up. So you just need to be very careful. You don't want to, because some people, the thing that literally rips their relationships apart or rips their marriage apart is just tradition, right? At the end of the day, your home or your marriage, the Bible should be its constitution, not the tradition of your land. So I think that's something you always have to be careful about. So
yeah.
Anything you want to say, Victoria?
No, thank you.
Okay, perfect. And then last few things I want to say here, right? So again, I've kind of said this already, but you need to set up your mind before you marry that it's going to be a permanent commitment. It's not going to be a commitment that you're going to jump in and jump out of. I remember during marriage counseling, there's this very grotesque, and not grotesque, but it's pretty intense analogy a pastor used. He would say that a marriage is like a bridge that you cross, and then once you cross the bridge, you throw a bomb. And the bridge, you know, goes up in flames and, you know, you can never go back, right? So the thing is, the term till death do us part really does apply to marriage, right? So again, I know we live in a time where there's a lot of divorce in this world, but again, when you marry, that's why again you have to take all these steps and precautions before you jump in.
And the opportunities for divorce or separation will come.
Yes.
Like you think now, no, not us, but those opportunities, they will come no matter who you are.
Exactly. I mean, like, no one is on wedding day, no one is saying vows to their spouse with the expectation that, oh, you know what, okay, yeah, we're gonna divorce in 2 years. No one goes in with those expectations, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, you need to set up your mind that it's gonna be a permanent commitment, come what may. So it's almost like, I love this part of the Bible that says, my heart is fixed within me. Like, your heart concerning your spouse has to be fixed within you. When you're marrying someone, you're making a vow before God. You're making a commitment. You need to stick, even if it's to your own hurt, you need to stick to that commitment. And the thing is, when God sees that faithfulness, God is going to help you wriggle out of whatever challenges will certainly occur, but God is able to help you through those things if he sees you're committed. Because when you're committed, it's actually a form of faith.
Yeah, and that was actually something we talked about in our marriage counseling. Our pastor asked each one of us point blank, like, what is your criteria? What is your opinion about divorce? Is there ever a situation where divorce is okay? Is there ever a situation where separation is okay? And so make sure that your partner is in agreement with you on those things.
Absolutely.
Like, will you divorce in the case of adultery? Will you divorce in the case of, you know, whatever it may be?
Uh-huh.
Make sure that you know those things ahead of time.
Yes, that's definitely a great point. And then to wrap up, I mean, this was something we did, certainly not required, but for me, I've always been, again, I'm a Christian and Victoria is a Christian as well. We've always been big believers in the importance of prayer and committing things into the hands of God, right? Because despite all your great intentions and all your research and all your study of the Bible, right, the only thing that can make a marriage work is God. And for me, there's this part of the Bible we read quite a bit before we got married that says a threefold cord is not easily broken, right? So the threefold cord, I'm one member of the cord, Victoria is another member, but the third member is God. In fact, one beautiful thing Victoria did that really pleased me on our wedding day was the place where we held our wedding reception. We actually had a table just for God. There was no human being assigned to sit there, right? It was just like God's table. We literally invited God.
We gave him a name tag and everything.
Exactly. We gave him a name tag and everything. We literally invited God to our wedding, right?
Yeah.
So it's just very important, right? Like, for us, before we married, we actually had a few weeks of prayer and fasting.
Yes,
we fasted. We prayed for a couple of weeks. Actually, I think it was maybe like 5 or 6 weeks. Or something
like
that.
It was like 40 days.
It was about 40 days.
Yeah.
It was about 40 days. And
we broke every evening.
Yes. Yes. We didn't fast for 40 days and 40 nights. No, right? So we broke every evening, but we prayed. And I feel like that is one thing that, like, that prayer, that fasting is something that has been speaking for us in marriage so far. And it's something I know by God's grace will continue to speak for us.
Yeah.
So any other thing you want to say before we wrap up, Victoria?
No. And we started praying together before, like, way before we married. So I'd encourage you to start soon so that it's just a normal habit for your relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, I have this suspicion we're going to be making some more podcasts about marriage in the future. So I guess as we wrap up today, the thing I just want to say is, again, as we said, the cornerstone of every successful marriage is God. Right? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that can make your marriage work. He's the one that can give you, because think about it, Adam, right? God brought Eve to him. Again, like I said, God is like the best matchmaker. He is the best matchmaker. So I will encourage you today, if you've not started a relationship with Christ, if you've made mistakes in the past, sexually or otherwise, Jesus Christ can set you free. Like Victoria said, in Christ, there is full redemption. So if you want to give your life to Christ, I would like you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe you shed your blood and you died on the cross to set me free and to give me full redemption. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Give me the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you said that prayer, congratulations. You're a child of God. I'll just encourage you. Go ahead, get a Bible, right? And just start from the book of John, right? Read the Bible, apply it to your daily life, do what it says, and you'll start seeing changes in your life. And also, find a Bible-believing church. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God, but again, there are many wonderful churches all around the world. Again, there are many churches that say that they believe in God, but they really don't. Again, we live in some really strange times these days. So I would encourage you to find a Bible-believing church, seek community, seek fellowship with other believers. And I pray that if you're a single person and you're looking unto God for a spouse, that God direct your steps to the right person.
Amen.
And if you're a person that is married and you're having some problems in your marriage, that the Lord's hand will be upon that marriage for good.
Amen.
And turn things around for the better.
Amen.
So thank you for listening to us. And until next time, have a wonderful day and God bless you. Victoria, you want to say goodbye to our guests?
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.